Before we get started, we just kind of wanted to get an idea of who all's here today. Obviously, Net Impact being kind of stationed in the business department, we know there's some business students from North Carolina as well as some other schools in the Triangle, but you just get kind of a general show of hands from other departments maybe, school of design kids, students,
or are there folks?
Just one? Alright, how about engineering department?
Jonathan Colton.
Maybe what areas of engineering? Environmental?
Safety.
Alright, anybody else, other majors, departments?
What progress is that, development of resources?
Bob Zicker Foods?
Yeah, he's not working there anymore.
Alright, I was gonna ask, any other UNC folks over? Welcome.
I'm in the environmental program, environmental management.
Okay. Any other professionals that might be interested in sharing what they do or what their interests are? Because this panel really we want to be based around your all's interests, so.
I'm basically a private citizen, not work in any related fields, but have a high level of interest in both green building and alternative energy. Just think it's the future and want to get involved in some capacity, so here to learn.
Anyone else?
Yeah, I work at UNC at the Center for Sustainable Enterprise, and I hire MBA students all right now over at UNC to work for me as sustainability consultants. And what I'm interested in doing is talking to some folks from NC State about maybe doing that with you guys in the future. So in lieu of your internship, you can do sustainability consulting.
Alright, so with that, we really want to keep this panel based around your all's interests. Green building, as Bob Kingery mentioned earlier, is a fairly broad field. Some people see it more from the building science, some from the development, and that's why we've chosen this panel we have here today, working from different approaches in the industry. So with no further ado, I'd like to just pass it on to the panelists, have them do a brief introduction of themselves, maybe their company or who they're working with, and just a brief tidbit about challenges you face in the industry, and also some hurdles that you've overcome and seen real success in your personal lives as well as your groups. So with that, I'll turn it over to John Coulter. He's with us today from Advanced Energy.
Yeah, so I'm Jonathan Coulter with Advanced Energy. We're located right over across the street on Centennial Campus, and our company focuses on a couple different areas, but overall the general mission is to help ratepayers of North Carolina use energy more efficiently, and we do that in a couple ways. One is through residential building. We do research and training on ways to improve the way that standard houses are built. And then another area is through industrial processes. So we have one of the nation's only independently certified motors testing lab over at our office. And so we work with electric motors testing. We do process heating consulting. And so that's, I think, sort of a general overview. We have a website, advancedenergy.org. I guess one of the things that I represent, I work on the residential building side of the company, and I think one of the things that I want to bring up, or hopefully touch on, I guess some friction that difficulties, challenges that I see out there in the industry are two different areas. One is the supply side. So who is out there? Who are the subcontractors out there being able to supply green technologies appropriately? Constructed houses, efficient techniques and processes. And then on the other side is the demand. So are homeowners educated? Who is educated out there in the industry to know about these options? So what's going on the supply side of this industry? What's going on the demand side of the industry?
My name is Brad Wood. I'm with Cherokee Investment Partners. We are a private equity fund that invests mostly in cleaning up, remediating contaminated properties, environmentally impaired properties, all around the country, in Canada and Western Europe. We're actually based here in Raleigh, but But like I said, we do this all around the country. In the past, have focused strictly on remediation of these brownfield sites, as they're called, mines, factories, shipyards, old warehouses, etc. But we're now in the process of transitioning to also doing vertical development, both residential and commercial. We've been disappointed with some of the development that's taken place on our properties post-remediation, and we have felt that we're well-positioned to actually influence the entire build-out of these properties. As it now stands, we have entitlements for 30,000 residential units on sites all around the country, and we have a management team that is very dedicated to ensuring that all of these units, as well as the commercial in these mixed-use developments, are following green building standards. Personally, I'm working as the project manager for Cherokee's mainstream green home project, which is basically it's a pilot project, a chance for us to experiment with what it means to build green in the residential sector. It's a single-family home that we're building here in Raleigh, and the intent is that all the lessons learned, all the insight gained from this process will apply towards our future projects. And in fact, Bob Kingery is one of our consultants with this project, so I work quite closely with Bob on a weekly basis. But anyway, today I hope to share some insight with you in terms of, what does it mean to build green, and how do you build green in such a way that that you can appeal to the average American home buyer, and ensure that that green does reach the mainstream, that it's not viewed as fringe.
Hi, my name is Bob Rodriguez, and I'm actually a private citizen, but I'm also part of the volunteer. My day job, I work for a German company, by the way, so I'm quite aware of what has gone on there in terms of awareness. A company by the name of Rohde & Schwarz are a worldwide test and measurement manufacturer for wireless communications systems. But basically what I do, I'm a volunteer. I work with the North Carolina Council of Churches, with the North Carolina Interfaith Power and Light Group, which is basically moves faith groups and spiritual groups towards understanding the implications of global warming, consequences of it, and moving people and individuals and organizations to advocacy, be it public policy, be it individual. I also am a member of the Sustainable Energy Association. I'm also a member and a customer of NC Green Power. And also I will plug the Stop Global Warming. I'm on the steering committee as well for the Stop Global Warming rally tomorrow, which will be at the Capitol grounds from 1 to 4. So in one sense, as a private citizen, I also went to Carolina, graduated in 91 with an MBA. I've worked for many years as an engineer, have a graduate degree, bachelor's and master's in electrical engineering. And when I came out in 91 from Carolina, there really was not an awareness. And if someone told me I'd be sitting here in the panel today, they'd say, you'd probably be nuts. But for me, it's been of a journey in part of this. And for us as well is as trying to help others walk the green path or a more sustainable path, the triple bottom line. Some of the work from the Council of Churches is that there's three components to typical things. There's social justice, economic justice, and environmental justice. And I think one of the things that you all see in balance as business people is the fact that if you're building products or services and if you're using slave labor or you're destroying the environment or economically it's basically robbing, it is not a good deal, then invariably that model is not going to work. And the Council of Churches is trying to work where there's equity, there's sustainability, and there is basically respect. And so they're really on the front lines of trying to make this happen. The program of ICP, the Interfaith Power and Light, is to move people to really do something. And so one of the things that my wife and I have done is taken our existing 27-year-old home and been able to make improvements as a home that was built almost 30 years ago that is not green, and be able to make improvements. And all I can say is that, also a disclaimer, Bob, I know Bob Kingery, because Bob Kingery helped do the work on our home and helped me and my wife in terms of the subcontractors. So we have some real world experience. I think the thing I want to say is that, in less than a year's time, about six months, we were able to reduce our total energy consumption 16%. This is for our home. If we don't include a pond that we added in the back, which we also found out that pumping water is a huge energy pig. But what we've learned, the whole process I want to encourage you all is learning. This is a learning process. Nobody will know it forever. But to challenge you to do something, we came down 25%. Now, our goal is 50% in 5 years. I think we can do that. We have solar hot water. We can talk in more detail. But we did the smart stuff systematically. And I think that the message I'd like to say is that it's out there. It's fairly easy. But your knowledge would be amazed at how much low-hanging fruit there is. And that's part of what the rally is tomorrow as well, is education. And so we thought, how can we help you go someplace if we don't walk it? Walking a walk, talking a talk. Get you out there front and say, it's not that hard, it's easy, there are some challenges, but we'll learn together. So that's my story.
I'm Casey Kurtz. I'm over at the College of Design right now. I'll be finishing a Master's of Architecture degree in December. And just a little bit about my background. I had somewhat of a varied background that includes degrees in political science and psychology. And that pretty much set me up for a life and career in construction. So I worked in the building industry for quite a few years, including owning and operating my own small design build company called Red Dirt Natural Builders. And we're very interested in kind of pushing the edge of the envelope in terms of not only sustainable design, but going even a little bit further into natural building. And working with technologies like rammed earth, straw bale construction, bamboo construction, and a few other things. And during that process, I got really interested and kind of jazzed about design in general. Decided to go back to school for the architecture degree, and it's been a great journey over the College of Design. I feel like I came in with a really strong interest in sustainability, and ending up with an even stronger desire to kind of pursue that. So I've tried to encourage in my own small way the integration of sustainability into the curriculum over at the College of Design. And we're starting to, you know, make some progress, although it's kind of interesting and unfortunate that the world of architecture tends to lag behind many of the more enlightened groups of individuals in terms of sustainability and green design, but we're coming along. And I think the primary reason that I was invited to come here today is a project that I was involved with a group of five of us did an independent study two semesters ago where we competed in North Carolina Sustainable Design Competition, which was an attempt to sort of marry the ideas of sustainability with affordability, kind of bring this whole idea of green design and sustainability down to a very reasonable economic level, i.e. a materials budget of about $45 a square foot, so pretty low. But anyways, through that process, we were able to win the statewide competition and then went on to the national competition, where we were actually competing against professionals, professional architecture teams as well. And we're able to walk away with the first place prize at the national level as well. So really excited about that. And what has come of that project is Habitat for Humanity has taken the design and has built three of the design in North Carolina, one in Orange County, one in Catawba, and one in Chatham County. So I'm hoping to continue that work with Habitat for Humanity and just in general, kind of, again, bringing sustainability and green design down to an affordable level.
That's great. I think, obviously, you can see we have a panel of diversity, people coming from all different sides of the spectrum. But drawing on your last point, I'd like to focus it more towards the feasibility of this technology and of these methods. I guess being a business school, we can't really neglect the value proposition on a lot of these technologies. So I'd like to just kind of get your all's input on the economic feasibility of them, be it from a building science point of view. Just tackle it however you wish, be it from a development aspect, maybe the investors, do they need to be on board with this movement of green building to pull it off? I know some corporations, they're understanding the long-term goal. They're going to be owning the building for the entirety of the project, possibly, which makes these payback periods much more valuable. So just in every day, how you would approach this question to your customer, and just the value proposition that your company or green building in general brings to society.
I guess I just kind of showed up here, and so the general concept of green building and what encompasses green building, I'm not up on specifically what y'all are looking for. What we particularly focus on is what we call blue collar building science. And so we focus on, like I was mentioning earlier, improving the way that a standard house is built. And so making it more more energy efficient, more comfortable, durable, healthy to live in, and safe to live in. And so those are sort of the general frameworks that we work with people, builders on, and with just standard construction. And so we do that in a couple different ways. Like I mentioned, we work with folks in the state. We work with nonprofit developers, typically Habitat for Humanity, community development corporations. Thanks to a generous grant from the North Carolina Housing Finance Agency, they're able to let us work with nonprofit builders to provide pretty close to, doesn't use necessarily green materials, but it's definitely energy efficient homes. And we've been involved with over 1,000 homes in the past 6 years. We also work with production builders all across the country in a program called Environments for Living. And that program has been going for about 10 years, and we've been involved with over 100,000 homes in that program. So in terms of, I guess, when I would talk with an individual homeowner or a production builder or another a custom builder, I typically would go and talk about the benefits in terms of specifically, like I mentioned earlier, the energy efficiency of going green, energy efficiency, comfort, health, safety, of installing current technologies correctly and installing current technologies per manufactured specs. And unfortunately, that's not happening a lot these days. Insulation's not installed the way that manufacturers require it. HVAC equipment, heating and air equipment's not. So we just kind of provide assistance there and what's also called commissioning to try to improve that. That we've been involved in some studies in Phoenix. We were involved in a study looking at what's called a guaranteed performance home. So we looked at a standard code-built house, and we looked at Energy Star houses, and we looked at the Environments for Living house, and realized that homeowners typically aren't looking right now at the label, that the label or the emblem is not on their radar, but what they are looking at is the cost to operate a house. And so they are willing to pay extra money in order to have what we consider a bill guarantee. So typically the nonprofit houses that we work with, 1,000 square foot house, we will guarantee that the heating and cooling part of the bill, electric bill, will be about $31 a month. And so we work with production builders to transfer this notion of a bill guarantee to the homeowner. And so we're finding that homeowners, what really draws their attention is a guaranteed bill, a guaranteed electric bill. And then that then transfers to homeowner comfort and higher satisfaction. And the builder is able to pass on, and the production builder is able to pass on the higher cost to the homeowner, and the homeowner is willing to pay for it. On the nonprofit side, like I was saying, the Housing Finance Agency in North Carolina provides those funds to do this above and beyond work. And so again, this research, these results are on our website, advancedenergy.org. And
the statistic that you just mentioned, was that for 1,200 square foot home?
That's roughly a 1,200 single story home. Could be over a slab, could be over a crawl space. But yeah, roughly the bill guarantee that we provide is about $31 a month for the heating and cooling part of the utility bill.
Again, I'd just like to open it up. If you guys have any questions to the panelists, feel free to chime in at any time. Also, if you could speak up, we're trying to record this. And so just ask really loud.